All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Christopher Sellery, exclusively on All Business Media.
Welcome back to All Business Media. I'm your host, Christopher Sellery. Joining me now from San Francisco, California, she is a Jungian analyst, body-orientated psychotherapist, and an international teacher. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Tina Stromstead to the program. Tina, welcome. How are you today?
Thank you, Chris. I'm good. Yeah, it's great to talk to you all the way in New York from here in San Francisco on a beautiful day.
It's a great thing that modern technology has now, right?
I know. Yeah.
All righty. Well, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to join us. We appreciate it. And why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about all that you do.
Well, what I do is a kind of an integrated approach that includes the things that you mentioned. So I'm a Jungian analyst, which means working deeply with the unconscious, kind of the underbelly of the kind of symptoms that people tend to struggle with, that tend to bring them into therapy. I am a body-oriented psychotherapist and educator, dance movement therapist. So that means that I'm paying attention to what the body has to say as the person is speaking, and because the body is often really trying to express our inner life and the important feelings that we're experiencing, whether it's through changes in breath or skin tone or natural gestures that are trying to come out. So we're not only listening for words, but the person's feelings and experience underneath the words to try to help them put that all together. And then I teach people. I train psychotherapists and dance therapists, body-oriented psychotherapists, and I teach here at the Jung Institute in San Francisco, and in a doctoral program for somatic psychology from a depth-oriented or Jungian-oriented point of view. So please feel free to ask me questions about any of that. I'm happy to say more about any of those elements.
All righty. Well, first I'm going to ask you how you got started in all of this.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think there were a few things that contributed. For one thing, as children, I think we're all natural dancers in some way. We're all wiggling and stretching and doing cartwheels and rolling and being curious about animals and instincts and things. We're involved with the world in a very lively way with all of our senses and with natural movement. And then at a certain point, we begin to kind of pull that in. Maybe we go to school and they say, please sit still so you can concentrate. Sometimes we get a little too stiff doing those kinds of things, since the body is also a portal for learning. That's how we know things. So I was dancing from when I was young, and sometimes things would come up at my family dinner table. My parents were very intellectual, and they would talk about culture and books and learning and politics and all those kinds of things. And I was interested in that, but I was also very curious about what was going on under the table, where people were scratching their knees or twisting their napkins or, you know, tapping their feet. It was clear that there was more going on than what they were sharing verbally or maybe even than they knew. So that was like the emotional reality that was going on underneath the verbal reports. So there was the above the table and below the table. And in some ways, maybe we could say what we're aware of in our heads and in our thoughts and the history and the feelings and the longings that are contained in the body, including sometimes trauma that the body holds on to until we're in a safe enough setting and with a friendly enough and skillful enough person to be able to work with that. I'll also add that I kept dream journals from when I was a child because somehow I knew they were expressing something important about my soul journey, about what I was trying to struggle with the things of the day, the feelings that were emerging, and the possibilities that the dreams were pointing toward, how to help me navigate and get through challenging times, as well as good things. I started teaching to him. So
I can never seem to remember what my dreams were 5 minutes after I wake up. You know.
I know that's something we often struggle with. Partly, I think it may be because the culture, has lost its sense of their value in a certain kind of way. You know, we really focus on the daytime experiences and what we're doing, what we're trying to do, being productive, taking care of business, whereas the body and the unconscious at night are trying to process our experience and help reflect on what we've learned there and help us find ways to move forward. They're very valued in a lot of indigenous cultures in ancient Greece, you know, Israel, Africa, the Aborigine people. But I think if you keep a little notepad by your bed, or you use your iPhone, we have this great technology, like we were saying, and you can just press the notes and kind of murmur into your phone or on your pad. Don't move too much, you know. And you might just catch an image or two, and even something short can be helpful. It doesn't even have to be the whole dream. But I think it can really help enrich and inform our daytime life.
Well, what I tend to notice the most is the ones I remember are where, like, all of a sudden I'm in an elevator and it, like, just drops out, or, you know, all of a sudden the road just ends and I'm still going, and I usually wake up to those.
Yeah, well, they tend to give us a little enough anxiety to wake us up. And if you wanted, if you were to work in a body-oriented way with one or both or other of your dreams, you could take yourself, you know, you could either watch the elevator instead of being in it and see what it's like to watch it drop, or you could work with it as if you were in it and take it in slow, slow motion and see what it's like maybe to descend more safely into the body than to go more quickly, you know, than something feels like it's manageable. Or if you come to the end of the road in your car and some part is speeding ahead, which we all do with our thinking and our and so forth, and try to imagine, okay, I'm at the end point that I'm aware of. If I could close my eyes and do active imagination, as Jung called it, kind of dream the dream on, where might this path, this road, be trying to lead me, and take kind of all judgment or previous knowing out of it, and let your imagination move forward. Let your body tell you something about what you're experiencing and what may be trying to happen that's beneath awareness.
All righty. Well,
that's helpful. Yeah.
All righty. Well, before we give out your contact information, I know you wanted to read something real quick. We are just about out of time, so we got to do that.
Okay. Well, I wanted to share a couple of things. Martha Graham, who was an early kind of well-known modern dancer, who some of today's dance therapists studied with, said, "Movement never lies. It is a barometer telling the state of the soul's weather to all who can read it." And then Anais Nin, a writer, said, "And the time came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." And I think that's the work that takes courage and can bring a lot of richness and fulfillment in people's lives, giving them more of a sense of meaning, not only addressing the symptoms, the suffering, but getting some sense of those as messages, a deeper thing that they might be trying to point toward, which is the person's soul calling in some way, and helping them work with the obstacles to its fulfillment.
All righty. So how can my audience reach out and contact you if they want to find out more?
I think a good way would be through my website. It's www.authenticmovement.com. So there are no spaces, and it's authenticmovement www.bodysoul.com. You'll see workshops there. You'll see webinars that I offer that people can plug into online, different publications, some of which they can download for free if they're interested. So I hope your listeners might take a look if they'd like.
All righty. Well, Tina, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
You're quite welcome. And for everyone else out there, do stick around. We will be right back.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Christopher Sellery. Exclusively on All Business Media.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your flap. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.